hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I think I play much better in the third. Trying to play harder with my forehands, trying to move Marin from the baseline, and I was fighting. I was there all the time trying to take my chances, and I should wait until the third, fourth, and fifth set to take it. But I was calm. I was positive all the time, and that was the key.
That's Argentina's Juan Martín Del Potro, one of the key players as his country won its first Davis Cup tennis title in Zagreb, Croatia. In a thrilling five-set match that lasted nearly 5 hours, Del Potro came from two sets down to beat Croatia's Marin Cilic. The final score from Zagreb, 6-7, 2-6, 7-5, 6-4, and 6-3. Argentina then clinched a 3-2 Davis Cup victory when Federico Delbonis beat Croatia's Ivo Karlovic in straight sets 6-3, 6-4, and 6-2. But it was Del Potro's spectacular comeback victory that changed momentum and spurred on Argentina. So says Argentina's captain, Daniel Orsanic.
What Juan Martín did in the first match was amazing. Regardless how good he is as a player, his heart is huge, huge, especially when he represents his country. And he showed it today, turning around a match that it seemed impossible. And Federico, later, he just played the perfect match. He was on top of every ball. He felt so comfortable on the court.
Argentina had been on the court four previous times in Davis Cup finals and lost them all. But this time around, Argentina's players fell into each other's arms and celebrated along with thousands of Argentine fans in the packed Arena Zagreb in Croatia. The Croatians, meanwhile, settled for runner-up after winning their only Davis Cup title in 2005. Marin Cilic says he feels like he gave his best effort.
Overall, with the level of tennis, I'm quite pleased. I played a lot in these 3 days and I gave everything on the court, and I don't have anything to feel sorry and to feel a little bit. Obviously, I'm feeling a lot disappointed, but I know that I gave everything that I had, and it was just one of those days where you have to accept that the luck was a little bit on the other side.
Unlucky in the Davis Cup final. That's Croatian tennis player Marin Cilic speaking in Zagreb. By the way, one of the fans who traveled to Zagreb to cheer on Argentina's Davis Cup team was football great Diego Maradona. The 56-year-old Maradona could be seen in the arena pumping his fists and waving his arms wildly, especially during Del Potro's comeback win in singles. From Zagreb, let's go to Abu Dhabi, where German driver Nico Rosberg won his first Formula One World Championship. The 31-year-old Rosberg finished second behind Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton of Britain at the season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix in the United Arab Emirates. Rosberg needed a top-three finish to clinch his first world title. He ended up with 385 points in the Formula One driver's standings, and Hamilton, who won world titles in 2008, 2014, and 2015, had 380 points. Now, things got very tense between the Mercedes teammates in the final few laps in Abu Dhabi. Hamilton deliberately slowed the pace, hoping to push Rosberg back in the pack and out of the top three. During the podium ceremony, Rosberg was asked if he enjoyed the race.
Hell no, that was definitely not the most enjoyable race I've ever had. With Max in the beginning, and then with those guys coming up in the end, really not very enjoyable those last laps. So very, very glad it's over and unbelievably ecstatic. And I want to, how do you call when you give the win to my wife, to you, Nopi? Amazing, thank you so much for all the support. And to our daughter, Alaya.
We just heard Nico Rosberg dedicate his Formula One World Championship to his wife and daughter. Our VOA listeners can also file his triumph in their like father, like son folders. Nico's father, Keke, won the 1982 Formula One World Championship.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
In European club football, there was lots of action over the weekend. And joining us now with some of the highlights in England and Italy is reporter Loic Youth. Sporty greetings, Loic.
Oh, sporty greetings to you, Sonny, and thank you to all those tuned in today. As we digested our Thanksgiving meals over the weekend, league football stuffed us with more entertainment. Italian champions Juventus were looking to extend their lead at the top to 7 points when they traveled to Genoa, but the hosts had different ideas. Their 3-goal advantage at halftime proved unassailable as they ran out 3-1 winners. Pjanic pulled a consolation late on, but the result keeps the Turin Giants on 33 points. Lazio kept up the European aspirations with a slender 1-0 win at bottom place Palermo, while Roma and AC Milan sit in second and third respectively above Lazio. Spalletti's Roma held on for a 3-2 win against Pescara in the weekend's last game, with Deco's brace proving to be the difference. Milan, on the other hand, have lost just once in their last 11 league games, and that form has seen them rise up the table. They demolished Empoli 4-1 and showing the same steel that saw them beat Juventus not too long ago. Their crosstown rivals Inter can boast of similar form, but will be hoping to get a win when they host Fiorentina today. Other results saw Torino maintain their push for Europa League with a 2-1 home win to Chievo and stretching their winning run to 4, while Atalanta, another team in impressive form, sits in 5th. Two early goals in both halves gifted them points away at Bologna, and Gasperini's men have not tasted defeat since late September. It's another tough season for the Udinese faithful after they suffered their 7th defeat of the season away at Cagliari. For Cagliari, it was a welcome 2-1 win after their slender loss last time around. And lastly, in 19th place Crotone, they hosted Sampdoria to a 1-1 draw, halting a run of 2 straight defeats. And that is what transpired in the round of 14 of the Serie A. We travel to England now, and it's the league's first American coach who celebrated his first win in spectacular fashion. Bob Bradley, Swansea and Crystal Palace played out an entertaining 9-goal game, with Swansea edging the winner in the 93rd minute. From 1 down to 3-1 up to 4-3 down, you'd have thought Bradley's first 3 points would elude him again. But Fernando Llorente snatched 2 in added time as the roof erupted at the Liberty Stadium. Leicester's title defense faltered once more as they needed a late equalizer at home to Middlesbrough, while Hull City and West Brom played out to a 1-1 draw. Aguero got a brace as City came from a goal down to win away at Burnley. Pep's men are now tied on points with Liverpool in second after the Reds left it late against bottom boys Sunderland. In a game that saw Coutinho stretchered off, they had to wait till the 75th minute for Origi to break the deadlock. Milner added a penalty to secure the points and to keep the pressure up on Chelsea in first. For Chelsea, they hosted Spurs fresh from the Champions League disqualification, and it's the North Londoners who scored first, but two goals either side of halftime kept the points at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea remained on top. Into Sunday's games at Stoke City and Southampton, both got narrow 1-0 wins over Watford and Everton respectively. It wasn't a happy return to the South for Ronald Koeman, as his side has conceded 7 in their last 3, and it's something he describes as not good enough. Manchester United got their third draw in 4 games after coming from behind to tie at home to West Ham. The game saw Ibra get back on the score sheet while the Hammers sit a point above the relegation zone. And last but not least, Arsenal ended a run of 4 straight draws in all competitions when Bournemouth travelled to the Emirates. An Alexis brace and a Walcott header were enough to give the Gunners 3 points, and Wenger's men are only 3 off the top. So it was quite the match day in England as we make way for the EFL Cup this week. It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Loic. Reporter Loic Youth with that European club football weekend look back. Well, the field is now set for Tuesday's semifinals at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other sports news.
Thank you, Sonny. We begin with the 10th edition of the African Women Cup of Nations holding in Cameroon. Holders Nigeria and Ghana completed the lineup for the semifinals after convincing wins in their ultimate Group B matches on Saturday. Nigeria's Super Falcons put 4 goals past debutante Kenya in Limbe to finish tops in Group B, while Ghana overcame Mali in the other fixture in Yaounde. Both teams finished on 7 points apiece, with the Falcons on top, courtesy of superior goal difference. Florence Omagbemi is Nigeria's Super Falcons coach.
We're not worried, we're not disturbed, but we just want to refocus and get a good result, that's all.
As Nigeria prepared to battle South Africa in Limbe on Tuesday in one of the semi-final matches, one of Bayana player, Refiole Jane, agrees that it's going to be a very difficult game.
Yes, it's a difficult team, but we've played them twice, honestly speaking. We've won once and we've lost once, and we still have a chance of us winning that game or giving good results.
Andile Delamani also agrees that they stand a chance to qualify for the finals of the tournament.
We needed to boost our confidence by scoring as many goals as we can, so that when we get into the Nigeria game, we know that it's not going to be easy. Nigeria's going to come hard at us, and whatever chance that we get against Nigeria, we have to make sure that we score those chances that we get.
In the other semi-final game, host Cameroon will face Ghana in Yaounde. Wilfred Zaha has decided to play international football for the Ivory Coast after failing to add to the 2 England caps he won in friendlies. The 24-year-old Crystal Palace winger was an England under-21 team regular before stepping up to the senior side and airing caps against Sweden in November 2012 and Scotland in August of 2013. But because neither match was a competitive fixture, Zaha has been able to commit to the Ivory Coast, the country's National Football Association announced on Sunday. And from Ghana comes a report that Accra Hearts of Oak reached the final of the 2016 GCS tournament after eliminating rivals Ashanti Kotoko 6-5 on penalties at the Baba Yara Stadium in Kumasi. Both sides scored from the spot in regulation time after brilliant exchanges in the regulation time that ended 1-1. And to Egypt, where Walid Suleiman came off the bench in the second half to score twice and create a goal for informed Nigerian forward Junior Ajayi as Al Ahly crushed promoted El Nassr Tadin 3-0 to move back to the top of the Egyptian Premier League on Sunday. The Red Devils continue their habit of only scoring second half goals to claim a 4th successive win. Suleiman converted a penalty just after the hour mark and provided an assist for Ajayi to double their lead and find a net for the 3rd straight march. Namibia's Labour Commissioner Nicholas Moers has dismissed the Namibian Football Players Union case against the Namibia Football Association with regards to outstanding player salaries and representation. He also dismissed the jurisdiction of the Labour Commission on the matter. Commissioner Moores ruled that the players' union request to engage the Namibia Football Association in relation to players' outstanding payments by their clubs was irregular and unprocedural. And to South Africa, where track star Wade Van Niek was the big winner at the SA Sports Awards in Bloemfontein on Sunday night. Van Niek was named Sports Star of the Year, People's Choice and Sportsman of the Year at the annual gala ceremony on Sunday. Van Niek says setting very high standards for himself prompts him to succeed in life.
God is definitely good. I'm really blessed to be standing in front of you guys right now. I'd love to thank the Sports and Recreation and the Minister for the efforts that you've put in for the sports. We definitely see the improvement and it's amazing to be able to be celebrated the way we are, and it's really something that we all are grateful for.
Van Niek made headlines at the 2016 Rio Olympic Games when he won gold in the 400 meters, setting a new world record with a time of 43.03 seconds. South African sprinter and gold medal winner Caster Semenya says winning Sportswoman of the Year has really inspired and motivated her to achieve much more in her life.
They say she talks like a man, she walks like a man, she runs like a man. I would like to thank God for this precious talent. As I don't forget, you know, Mzamo Hezekiel Sebeng, you know, little brother, for the hard work, you know, he's done for me. Coach Fester, you know, family, friends, the entire South Africa, Africa and the world. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. There's still more to come.
The new president of the Ethiopian Athletics Federation, Haile Gebrselassie, has advised African athletes to be disciplined so that they can invest in ventures that will provide them with income long after their careers on the track are over. Over the years, Gebrselassie has used his winnings to grow a business empire, something he believes is possible for all athletes.
Let them keep, you know, one important thing. When they get that money, they have to know the money is faster than them. It finished very quickly. Even sometimes, the money what you get, it spoils you. It's not only to finish, you know, it spoils you. Once you get the money, you go and just you start to adapt, you know, a different life.
And to rugby news now, where South African coach Alistair Coetzee accepted that a sack was a real possibility after overseeing a woeful 2016 for the Springboks. But he insisted he alone was not responsible for a desperate run of bad results that culminated with Saturday's 27-13 defeat by Wales in Cardiff.
We need to get our standards right back up there. As the Springbok team, management included, on and off the field, excellent high standards. That's when you want to compete against the best in the world. So I think there's been a bit of a drop in standards on and off the field in terms of our you know, skill sets on the field and in terms of the preparation.
Meanwhile, outgoing Springbok captain Adrian Strauss apologized for their string of bad results but promised he will be ruthless with the truth when their dismal performance will be discussed by the South African Rugby Union when their all-powerful General Council meets on December the 9th.
You know, the team spirit was always there. You know, there was a lot of energy, but it is difficult in a year where you lose 8 matches out of 12, test matches, you know, to really feel that feeling of a successful team. But the fight was always there. The energy was always there. We really worked hard.
Finally, in basketball news, in the most hotly contested game of Sunday's FIBA African Champions Cup for Women 2016, Angola and ACCW defending champions Primeiro de Agosto beat Nigerian side First Bank 76-62. No surprises were registered in the four games of the day. 2 days after losing to Interclub de Luanda, host Ferro Rivero de Maputo seemed to have finally found the way to glory inspired by Annabella Koza. They sealed an 84-58 win over Kenyan Ports Authority. In Sunday's opening game, Interclub de Luanda, runners-up at the ACCW 2015, showed tremendous quality, trouncing Etoile Filante of Togo 94-30. And that's it for the Sunny Side of Sport for this evening. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's over to you, Sunny, in Washington.
Thanks for that spicy package of sports news, Samson. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be back here with you in Washington after a very nice Thanksgiving weekend full of American football, as we talked about on the show. Lots of TV watching, turkey eating, all that good stuff.
I liked your description of Studio 22, Andrew. The mothership.
The mothership.
Welcome back to the mothership.
Well, I give credit to our producer Bill Werkinger for that. He's gave me that phrase. But no, I've been beamed back up to the mothership, and here I am.
Well, welcome back to the mothership, and what is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, we'll start with a story you talked about a little bit earlier. The F1 driver's title won by Nico Rosberg. Lots of reaction to fans at that win and how he handled the win, giving thanks to his parents, his father, Keke, who had won it previously, as we were talking about a little while ago, and getting a lot of response for a tweet that he sent out shortly after he won it. A nice video, it's about 5 minutes long, and it appears to be a home movie where he's racing around in a little golf cart. It looks like he's on vacation with his family somewhere nice and tropical, and his father is actually writing down the lap times as he's going around and riding around, I guess, the vacation house that they have. And this nice video is kind of spliced together, set to Ed Sheeran's song Thinking Out Loud, and a nice way to honor his parents. And he tweets out that video. He says, "Danke, Mama und Papa." So thank you, Mom and Dad, for their support. And he puts a couple of heart emojis in there as well. So their support for him as he started his racing career. He can't be more than maybe 6 or 7 years old in this video. Very young, racing around in this go-kart, but already showing the hints of brilliance that would lead him to the F1 driver's title that he won.
As I reported earlier, Andrew, in Abu Dhabi, maybe not the best of relationships between those Mercedes teammates, Rosberg and Hamilton, because of tactics. Are the tactics trending from Abu Dhabi?
Absolutely. That was the story going into the race that Lewis Hamilton might slow down a little bit. And he said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to run a good race." And it looked like he did maybe slow down his lap time for to try to get people to pass him and try to keep Nico Rosberg out of the title. And fans aren't really thrilled with that. They're saying that it was poor sportsmanship. He's getting accusations that he was trying to throw the race. So he's having to deal with that now after the fact. But it looked like, at least after the race, it was all smiles between the two teammates. They shook hands, and that was a good moment. But Lewis Hamilton's going to have to answer for that in the coming days.
What else is trending in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, so from racing, we go back to American football. And as we've talked about previously on the show, Thursday night football here in the U.S., the NFL signed a deal with Twitter, allowing them to broadcast the Thursday night football games. Well, that might not be much longer, because apparently the National Football League is taking a look at Thursday night football and may eliminate it altogether or restructure it, maybe starting Thursday night football on Thanksgiving and then continuing it to the rest of the season. And there's a lot of talk among fans what this means for football being broadcast on Thursdays and what it means maybe if they go to the internet to broadcast it as opposed to going to any of the major television networks here in the U.S. and how this deal will shake out with Twitter as a result. So it's not going anywhere for next season. They're going to keep it. But then after that, in 2018, they're going to look at maybe reevaluating that. So potentially a big change to the football season. One complaint that a lot of fans express on social media is that a lot of these games are set very early in the calendar, before we see which teams are doing well and which teams aren't doing well. So you're kind of guessing and saying, okay, we think this team will do well. We think this matchup will be a good one. And unfortunately, what happens is a lot of times it doesn't pan out that way. As we know in sports, there are always those Cinderella stories that we talk about where teams who are unexpected do so well. So a lot of fans end up complaining a lot on Thursday nights and voicing their concerns on social media about that hashtag no fun league, saying, why would I want to watch this game? I mean, two teams that have, you know, a 2-8 record or a 2-9 record when I could be watching a better game on Sunday. So some reevaluation there from the NFL. We'll see how that works out. And we'll see how the social media continues to play out if they continue to push those games out on Twitter and Facebook and other digital platforms.
And the National Football League, just to show you how popular it is, Andrew, it's not restricted to just one network, but the games are actually broadcast on several networks each week. So we'll see how that affects the league.
Yeah, and affects the money, because as we've talked about too, it all comes down to how much money they can earn and make off of these games. So if they can make money doing it one way or another, they'll try to do that, I'm sure.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the November 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The world is getting smaller, and as ever more people travel across continents, an infectious disease threat anywhere can be a threat everywhere. In today's interconnected world, a pathogen can travel around the globe to major cities in as little as 36 hours. This means that when a deadly disease, such as the avian flu, for example, emerges from a rural location where people and animals live in close contact, it can quickly move to cities and from there be carried around the world within hours. In densely populated areas, one or two carriers of a highly infectious disease can cause a pandemic or even an epidemic within days. Prevention is the first line of defense against deadly diseases. To defeat potential outbreaks should they emerge, it is crucial that the world community is capable of quickly detecting, responding to, and containing infectious diseases occurring anywhere in the world. This means close cooperation and communication among governments and health organizations around the world. But fragile national health systems in too many countries make this difficult, which leaves the world vulnerable to the outbreaks. The Global Health Security Agenda is a partnership of international organizations, non-governmental stakeholders, and 55 countries, including the United States. Launched 2 years ago, it aims to help countries address global vulnerability to these public health threats, strengthen systems, and ensure that a trained workforce has the systems and tools needed to prevent, detect, and respond to infectious diseases. On November 4th, President Barack Obama signed an executive order which cements the global health security agenda as a national priority and affirms the United States' commitment to achieving the protections that global health security agenda makes possible. Promoting global health security is a core tenet of our national strategy for countering biological threats. No single nation can be prepared if other nations remain unprepared to counter biological threats, states the document. The comprehensive framework the Obama administration is launching with this executive order, wrote USAID Assistant Administrator for Global Health, Dr. Ariel Pablos Mendez, will have a far-reaching impact on our ability to partner with new sectors to prevent, detect, and respond to epidemic threats, leverage the full power and leadership of the U.S. government for this effort, and move us closer to achieving the vision of a world safe and secure from infectious disease threats.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at President Barack Obama's legacy in Africa and the U.S. Join guest host Esther Gidui Ewart and her panel of guests as they take a close look at President Obama's legacy in Africa and the United States. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.